tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have King of All Geeks, Elliot Serrano, and happy National Wine Day. Did you know it was National Wine Day? Well, we have Wine and Wine Down with Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. And since it's Friday, that means we have our political roundtable of Ken Jakubowski. And be sure to get your calls in for the Sound Off segment at 1:15 and stick around for What's That From happening at 1:35. But now, the favorite show of listeners from Valparaiso, Indiana, it's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Want to make sure you know the news this hour has been sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishings. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It was fun hanging out with Hannah Stanley, who will be joining me on Monday night for our Memorial Day show. We're going to talk a little bit about the Royals again. We're also, she's got a guest that is going to talk about their honeymoon and everything, kind of like some of the cultural stuff. We're also going to talk about, of course, we want to talk to people who have family members that they've lost, and it has a big effect on the trajectory of your family when you lose somebody who has given the ultimate sacrifice in the military. My father's close cousin, his first cousin, so I never know how that chart works if it's my second cousin. But it was Corporal Ray Van Dusen was killed in action in North Korea. It was 1950. I have the exact date and the day he was, his family was notified that he was missing and then killed in action. And we're going to talk about that on Monday and how that affects your family. It affects you, obviously, for generations. And we want to talk a little bit about that and the sacrifices that so many families make. Tonight, it is a Friday night, of course, of Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people on the road getting out to their summer homes, got a lot of plans. We have Elliot Serrano in studio. It's good to have you back, my friend.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
It has been.
It's like, you know.
Every Friday night that you're gone does not feel right to me.
It doesn't feel right to me either, because I know something fun is going on in the studio and I'm missing it, so.
And I always feel badly because listeners don't really know what happens when the mics are off and we go to news or breaks. And those are the moments that.
Sometimes I'm wondering, when I see you waving your arms and stuff, like, I will confess that last break sports, I was like, what is going on? Is she talking to me?
I know, I'm like hitting the button. I'm very animated, I guess is the best way to put it.
I like it.
Well, thank you. It's good to see you, Pam.
It's good to see you, too. It's been a long, long time.
It has been. Are you here all weekend?
I am here on Sunday, and I'll be back again on Monday.
Monday? What time Monday?
I believe it'll be the same shift, but we'll see.
Oh.
That's kind of in flux. Roger tells me that I've got that wrong, and that's quite possible.
Welcome to the party, Pam.
We'll see. Thanks.
I often have things wrong. So
it's the scheduling thing. You know, you go work at different places, the schedules look different and
right.
Whatever.
I agree. If you want to know what I'm doing right now is I'm preparing our bottle of Dannenberger Family Vineyards wine.
Ooh, what kind?
It is, well, I think we're supposed to, the reveal comes when Susan tells us.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm doing a spoiler. Sorry.
No. I'll tell you when we go to the commercial break, because she'll tell the audience what wine she is pairing with the series Riverdale, which is on Netflix. Have you watched Riverdale?
I have not seen it yet.
It's so much fun. It is Elliot, how do you describe these series that are based on comic books that no one really seems to recognize or identify with? they just don't see the characters the way they imagine them they've grown up with them. This is based on?
It's based on Archie comics.
Right.
Yeah. It's Riverdale is, of course, the town that Archie and Veronica and Betty and Reggie and Jughead all, but they've turned it kind of, I don't, some folks called it like Archie meets Twin Peaks.
That's what it felt like to me.
Like
it really did. The sort of like everyone's got a secret kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It feels that way for sure.
So, yeah. And then there were some criticism that it's nothing like the original comic.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back and find out what wine Susan Dannenberger has paired. And I think I can talk Pam into enjoying a glass with me.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm just saying. Mm. It's
pose with a glass just for people, you know.
Perfect. And then when you're done, your shift is over.
Or not I partook or not.
Be mysterious. I like it.
Right?
Take a break here, and we will talk to Susan Dannenberger when we come back. It's Binge and Uncork. It's Friday night. I'm so happy that you're joining us. More in a moment on 720 WGN. That's right. It's time for some binge and uncork with the extraordinary winemaker, Susan Dannenberger, Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Elliot's laughing because I ran out of the room realizing we had not cleaned out any wine glasses, Susan. I was like, wait a minute, I have the bottle in front of me. We may have to do a couple. That was a lot. How did I get out of... how did I get out of breath just running around the corner in the hallway, Elliot? Yes?
I don't know. You're Miss CrossFit and all that stuff. So when you get winded, something's happening.
I moved way too. I'm like, I need wine glasses. Hey, Susan Dannenberger, how are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic.
I assigned you a new series, and this time I'm prepared. Last time, like, I think there was so much going on in the building that I wasn't ready to give you a new assignment. And then you were so sweet. Susan messaged me the Monday after. She's like, hey, what am I watching? And I wanted to pick something that really piqued my interest. I was looking for something new, something a little bit different. And Elliot had mentioned series that are turned from comic books into television entertainment, and sort of the controversy and the complaints that people have about one in particular, and that is the series Riverdale, and that was your assignment. It's a series on Netflix, and it is, Elliot, tell us a little bit about the comic books that it is adapted from.
Well, most people know Archie. Archie and Veronica and Betty, that timeless love triangle where, you know, Veronica and Betty are always vying for Archie's affection. Veronica yes. is the gorgeous, rich brunette.
Mysterious. Dark-haired, right? As we are. We're very mysterious when we're dark-haired.
And then Betty is the wholesome girl next door who's, you know, like...
All-American.
So when people, you know, were always thinking, you know, who should Archie pick? You would have the arguments between should it be Betty, should it be Veronica? And the company that owns Archie started totally getting Archie fans up in arms when they released the series Archie Marries Veronica.
In the comic books. Right.
Which set off this whole thing. So it's just, you know, what they've been doing with the Archie comic books is doing all these new types of different ideas with the characters. There's one that they've modernized Archie in kind of a more contemporary comic book art style. There's one where Betty and Veronica are motor bicycle vixens. The book is called Vixens.
Nice.
There's even one where Veronica is a vampire slayer, much like Buffy. It's called Vamperonica. So having fun with it.
Right.
And then, of course, Riverdale is a television adaptation of the Archie comics. But as we said before the commercial, it's not quite like, you know, those simplistic comic books that we remember from our youth. They really went dark with it.
Right, because the comic books, I used to read some of the Archie comic books. Did you, Susan?
Yes, and Josie and the Pussycat.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Which they are in, like...
It's not what I expected.
They bring Josie and the Pussycats in like, the second episode of Riverdale, I think, pretty early on. It might even be the first episode. Yeah, I mean, when you started watching it, at what point did you know that this was based on the Archie comics, or did you have an idea before you started the series?
I didn't know that it was based on that. I should have known, just the name. And then, like, in the very first episode, I'm like, oh, with the Letterman jackets and the... Pops in the, you know, the little diner.
Then right.
It suddenly dawned on me. And then I thought, oh gosh, this is not going to really, how am I going to pair wine with this? They're teenagers, but.
Oh, but they're doing a lot of adult stuff. There's a lot of adult themed activity in this series. As many shows that revolve around teenagers, I think, has a lot of adult themes.
90210 had plenty of adult themes.
Exactly.
I could never understand how high schoolers can get caught in international smuggling rings.
Right.
You know, how did that ever happen? But you know.
And of course, again, we are pairing wine with Riverdale for the parents who are watching this, or the adults who enjoy and indulge in watching Riverdale, not the kids who are of age of the actors in Riverdale.
Well, I just figured, you know, with milkshakes, I'm like, what am I going to put with this? But then, you know...
It's so dark.
As it progressed. Yeah, it was very dark. It couldn't be a white wine at all. It had to be a red wine. It was so scandalous.
It is. It's very scandalous. And how many episodes... I know you've been very busy. You had the Why Me run just about a week and a half ago, right? About 2 weeks ago? No, last Saturday.
Last Saturday, yeah. That went really well. My... team, the Wine Rack Pack for Susan G. Komen, was in the top five for fundraising, so that was fantastic. I was really proud.
Congratulations. That's
so,
very exciting.
So thanks for being part of my team.
I know. I was there in spirit. Elliot and I were here doing a show at Nerdfest, so I'm so sorry we couldn't make it.
I heard.
It was very fun. So let's talk about what's going on.
Last weekend was also
Go ahead.
Pride Fest last weekend down there, and then this weekend was just, you know, lots of, we had music tonight, big band, and lots of crowds, and then coming up next Friday, I'm releasing my Rosé Lovelocks, which is an Illinois bicentennial wine, and we're having a big ceremony here with the governor and several senators and representatives. They're going to have a color guard to raise the bicentennial flag and then pop the first corks, and then we have an Austin band called the Reed Brothers here to celebrate afterwards, and lots of festivities.
So much fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing the vineyard in just, I think in about 2 weeks, I'll be there June 8th and 9th.
Ooh.
Yes.
June 8th, we have a drag show.
Ooh. Okay. I'm in. I'm all in. I love it. Let's take a break here for a break in the news. And then when we come back, we'll find out what wine you paired with Riverdale. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Looking forward to finding out. And then I can wash the glasses. Elliot, I'm going to go do some dishes. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. Joining me in studio is our Chief Geek Officer, Elliot Serrano. And I kind of love the idea of pairing wine with the series Riverdale. Susan Dannenberger is our binge and uncork expert who pairs wine with series that Elliot and I suggest, and perhaps listeners do as well. Pam Jones, I believe, is in the lead for picking the series for our next segment, which is the series Sneaky Pete. And you said you love this, Pam.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am so addicted to this show.
Is it funny? Is it dark?
Is it
suspenseful?
Funny, and it's all of that.
Okay.
It's all of that.
I need all that.
I'm sorry if you don't like violence. I mean, on television. I mean, none of us like violence in real life. But sometimes on television... Adults who can handle this type of material and not commit these acts of violence could enjoy it. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of it if you like that kind of thing.
Now I'm even more intrigued, Susan, aren't you?
Yes. Mixing it all up.
There you go. And speaking of which, of inappropriate behavior by individuals. Now, these are the things on Riverdale. They get themselves in a lot of different situations. There's a lot of emotion. There's obviously, of course, the added benefit of having hormones raging when you're in love with somebody. And they don't see you that way, Susan. Why doesn't he love me?
So many twists and turns. Even more unexpected than I had thought. I did get to the end of the first season, and then, of course, they rolled out season two like yesterday, and I didn't have time to even start on that.
That was not part of the assignment. You don't have to. There's no extra credit for watching the second season in one day. None.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Exactly.
Well, it just so happened I had ordered a pizza to sit down to watch this, and so it worked out really well for this show.
I think so.
The epitome of, burgers, pizza, french fries, shake, and a glass of red wine.
Hold on. You had burgers, pizzas, french fries, and a shake with red wine. Wow.
This lady stays busy. She's fit, too. That's the thing that's so surprising and infuriating. You see, I mean, she stays in shape. She's eating burgers, drinking shakes, drinking wine. I need to know your secret.
I know. I want in on whatever dark magic you're using.
Exactly.
Susan.
We call it the Dannenberger diet here. It's like you barely eat all day, and then you just keep eating once at the end of the day. So.
And
everybody that works here loses weight because they're so busy.
Oh, I could do that.
You should do a little internship.
I was gonna say I would love to work at the vineyard, lose some weight, and be around the wine all the time. That sounds like magic.
Win-win.
Elliot's right. So what wine did you pair with the series Riverdale?
Oh, it's Scarlet Letter.
That's perfect. Hold on.
And it ended up being so perfect because the Letterman jacket, and then, of course, as things progress, you're like, somebody does need to wear a Scarlet Letter.
I love that. Here, Elliot, will you pour? I just popped it open.
It goes great with pizza.
And that's the thing. A good glass of wine and a slice of pizza, that's just, I don't know if it's, is that Chicago or is that, oh. And there it is. There's Elliot's port.
So this wine is not like a sipper. It's really a food wine.
And
it's 100% Petit Verdot, and it's really intense, and it's done really well in the competition. San Francisco loved it, and so it's not your typical like sit around and drink red wine, which is perfect for the show because it really has you at the edge of your seat, and you're just barely taking a sip, and then you're chowing down on a little bit of spicy pizza, and it tones down that wine. It makes it really soft and smooth.
Well, and it sounds like because it is Memorial Day weekend, if people are barbecuing, this seems like something that's going to go great with barbecue chicken.
Fantastic barbecue. You're right. It is. Something with like high fat, high protein, spicy. Be good with that one.
How about some of your white wines that would go with maybe some of the chicken or salmon? I don't know if people barbecue salmon on Memorial Day weekend. I'm just the dork in the corner that just wants the grilled veggies. But what kind of white wines are good at a barbecue as well?
The Light of the Moon would be perfect with the barbecue because it is a little bit sweet on the front end, but it's got that acidity at the end. So people that like dry wine like that, people that like sweet wine like it, and it's good with barbecue. You need a little bit of fruit in the front to go with barbecue. If you have something that's, you know, Sauvignon Blanc or something like that would never work with barbecue. It has too much acid.
And that sounds, I mean, that's the thing. Is whenever I'm at a barbecue and somebody has like a white wine, I'm like, if I'm going to go dry, I may as well drink whatever red you have.
Yeah, that's true. You have to have something with just a little bit of fruit in the front to go with barbecue.
So something like a Pinot.
I'm not a big person on sweet wine, but you have to have it for just a little bit of that.
Well, like a not necessarily a real sweet Riesling. Do you do something that's similar to a Riesling? I know that I think I've tasted something that seemed in that area. That you've had?
You've had my Blanc, which is a dry Riesling, and so I do it in the French style, and so it has all that acidity, but also has that floral note in the front, and that's really nice.
I love that. By the way, because we are, all the shows accumulate wine glasses from various, generous winemakers and cocktail providers like yourself. I have my own. You had brought your Dannenberger family vineyard glasses to the station and for me to have. And we're not going to say which show might have absconded with them. We're not going to say that it was Ro Khan's show. We're not going to say that. We might allude to it, but we're not going to say it. But because you sent me my own glass, Elliot has that, which is a stemless glass, and I have a couple of other like tall stem glasses. The one I have is a really thin wine glass. Is there, how do the shape and the style of the glasses affect the way someone drinks wine?
So the purpose of a red wine glass is it has to have a big bowl at the bottom so that it can add a lot of air into it while you're swirling it around. And it's a little bit shorter because it's more about the finish. And the thinner the top of the rim, the faster that it goes onto your tongue. And so you really get that experience immediately. And a white wine glass needs to have that tall tulip shape so it directs the aromas, because white wines are all about the smell versus, the complexity. They don't have as much complexity. So you're more wanting to think about how they smell and directs it right up into your nose, and then you get to taste it after that. You have to have some balance and acidity.
So that's
really have that full experience.
So that's why the white wine glasses are always narrower, a little bit slender, as you mentioned, tulip shaped. And then, that's the thing is that I am picky about my glassware. I have these really beautiful wine glasses I got for my wedding, which I think Elliot, you've seen the silver lined ones. I only bring them out.
Oh yeah,
those are. Yeah. If you come over this weekend, come over tomorrow. We're watching Memorial Day movies this weekend. I'll pull
out
the
nice.
We're gonna watch the Fighting Sullivans and Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, the choices.
Yeah, those are, I contend that, Ken Jakubowski joins me in studio, by the way. I have to see if Ken has seen this movie. Have you ever seen The Fighting Sullivans?
No.
I believe, and I've never done any research on this, but I'm pretty sure it's kind of the inspiration for Saving Private Ryan. It's about the brothers from Iowa and their path to World War II and what happened to them, because laws were changed after the Fighting Sullivans.
They weren't supposed to all leave because the families need to have somebody still at home.
Sorry, he doesn't have headphones on. I should get him a pair of headphones. Sorry about that. They made sure that siblings were no longer stationed together because of the. This is a true story of four brothers who had joined the Navy. They were all fighting on the same battleship.
Were they Sullivan? No,
yeah.
They were Ryans. They were Ryans.
Fighting Sullivan. No, they're Sullivans. The movie Saving Private Ryan, I think, is based on it. Even though in the movie, all of the brothers are stationed in different places, right? But in the Fighting Sullivans, they were all stationed on the same battleship. that was attacked. And there's actually an incredible, there's a lot of memorials to them in their hometown in Iowa. And there's a, actually performed in the Fighting Sullivan's Arena. So, yeah, so Griffin's never seen the movie. My husband's never seen the movie. It was one of my favorite, my father's favorite movies about World War II.
Oh, wow.
So that we're going to watch that tomorrow. I recommend that to everybody. I would. I should have made that our Binge and Uncork for tonight, but that's just a suggestion. If anybody else has a Memorial Day movie that I know a lot of people like, The Longest Day. Do you have one, Ken?
Isn't it pretty tough, though, to drink wine watching a movie about the Fighting Sullivans?
You want to drink whiskey?
Given what happened. Yeah, I think whiskey. I think something hard. Definitely something hard.
Something like whiskey.
Yeah. I'll vote for your Longest Day.
The Longest Day?
Plus, not only that, it's a longer movie.
Yes, it is.
So it'll allow you to fill up a few more times.
Yeah.
But it's a great movie. Is in that movie.
Oh, when John Wayne is in that cafeteria and he throws his coffee mug across the...
Yeah.
And he wasn't a good runner.
No.
John Wayne was... He spent a lot of time on horses. Not a great runner.
And it looks like it, too.
It's a little knock-kneed, is all I'm saying.
Well, I like The Great Escape, myself.
The Great Escape.
It was just on TV. It was on one of the digital channels two nights ago.
Steve McQueen
with that ball.
Steve McQueen.
We were thinking of the Stalag 17.
Yeah, also an excellent movie.
Yeah,
yeah. And then if you want a little bit of levity, you can watch an episode of Hogan's Heroes, and that'll lighten it up.
Exactly.
Or you can drink wine.
Kelly's too. Heroes.
Look at this.
Oh, yes.
The next segment's going to all be Memorial Day movies. Let's wrap up with Susan. Did you want to hang out for more Memorial Day movies, or do you need to go to bed? Because we're going to
Sure.
All right. Hang on, and we are going to talk more movies. We're hanging out with Susan Dannenberger. You can go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com for their schedule of all the bands they have coming up throughout the summer, all the great events, including their Bicentennial Rosé that she's going to be presenting with a big fanfare. And that's on what day, Susan?
Friday, June 1st.
And again, go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com. And you can also just go to the Vineyard, 12341 Irish Road, right there in New Berlin. More after this on 720 WGN. As we ease into the Memorial Day weekend, actually, maybe some of you started yesterday. I felt like there was traffic starting on Monday. People are like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to the summer home. We are talking to Susan. I combined everything. Susan Dannenberger of Dannenberger Family Vineyards. We paired a wine with Riverdale. She has chosen the Scarlet. Is it the Scarlet Letter as the wine?
Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlet. It is fantastic. We've been sipping this during the break. And thank you so much for sending a bottle direct from the vineyard. It's a dry red table wine. And we're enjoying it thoroughly. And as Susan said earlier, it's also perfect for your barbecues this weekend. That kind of wine goes really well with maybe your meats, your barbecue ribs and chicken and all those delicious foods that you're eating. We're also talking right now about maybe some of the movies that you can watch. I know it sounds silly to just watch a movie that's about veterans, about war, about people sacrificing themselves for their country, putting themselves on the line for the country. It is, to me, a conversation starter. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to watch The Fighting Sullivans with Griffin. Is because it actually is. It's based on a true story on a family out of Iowa. Four sons left to join the Navy, and they all ended up on the same battleship. And after the tragic events of that day, there was legislation that made sure that siblings could no longer serve in the same units. And I think I've never really heard what Saving Private Ryan was based on, but it seems like it would be a similar story. And we're taking your calls and texts about the movies that you enjoy that tell the story of men and women in battle. Hey, Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Good, kiddo. Hey, listen, I have for the longest time figured that movies like Sullivan and Saving Private Ryan should be mandatory viewing for high school kids and possibly even later grade of elementary school, giving them a grasp of what this country is all about. So my hat's off to you for dedicating a part of your program this evening to focusing on that theme, I believe. Okay?
Right.
Doing a good job, Kettle.
Thank you very much. Have you seen The Fighting Sullivans?
Both of them, yep.
And I misspoke. It is it was five brothers that were growing up. They were inseparable, and they went off to fight in World War II. Thank you so much, Joe. Great to hear your voice.
You betcha.
Have a great weekend.
Adios.
Thank you. Asta. And we have another caller coming in. So it is it's a dramatized story of it's based on true events. Five brothers from Iowa who grew up in an inseparable family during the Great Depression. And when World War II strikes the country, the brothers feel compelled
to serve their nation in its time of need. After joining the Navy, the siblings, all they requested, that was the thing, was they could at the time request to serve together. And that was how that happened. I know. And who would think? Because, you know, if it were me, I would think, well, they'd have each other's back, or they'd be there for each other, or if something happened, they could be together. But, you know, you never think of the worst thing. Oh, here we have a question for you, Susan. Catherine has a question for you. Hey, Catherine, how are you doing tonight? Catherine?
Interested in the wine. Is there any possibility of coming up with a non-alcoholic wine? Because there's only two brands out there, and they're pretty blasé. And I've been looking for something new.
That's a great question.
Hepatitis C survivor, and I can't drink alcohol, so I go with the non-alcoholic wine.
Right, and it's always, you know, it's always hard to find things that are fun, mm-hmm. and everyone's having, you know, wine and all these different varieties. Susan, are you familiar with anything? Right. Susan, are there any non-alcoholic wines you could recommend that you have? Have I lost
her? Can you hear me, Patty?
Yes. Hi, Susan. Yes.
It's a really difficult process to take alcohol out of wine, and so that's why usually it's just a really big name company that does the non-alcoholic. I'm not able to do it. It's a very intense chemical and mechanical mechanism to do.
Right.
To do it, you have to do a lot of distilling.
There is a market out there for it, and I know a lot of people that can't drink alcohol and still like to have their glass of wine, but
I know this isn't a replacement for you, Catherine, but some of the things, you know, when I alternate, have you ever tried, like, you know, pairing juices with like a club soda, like a tart cherry juice? And this is not wine at all, but with right. seltzer water, with club soda.
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
Yeah, I wish we could help you out, Catherine. We wish if I come across anything, we'll talk about it on the show. Thank you for pointing that out, and I will do my best to find something for a lot of folks out there like you. Let me take a quick break here. More when we come back on 720 WGN. It's Friday night, which means on the Pretty Late Show, it's pretty late on the Patty V Show. We typically talk about the big news stories of the week, and then Kendrick Kubowski started telling me all the things he wanted to talk about. And I was like, oh, look, there's a bottle of wine over there. Maybe I should pour some more.
Get a bottle of whiskey.
I thought, you know what? Maybe we should talk about movies a little bit longer before we start talking about the top stories of the week. We will get to those in just a bit. Maybe give everybody else a chance to brace themselves for our conversation. And this is, to remind everybody, this is a conversation. So sometimes people get their panties in a bunch and they texted us because they don't like what they're hearing. That's because you're not joining the conversation. We're sharing our thoughts, our point of view, our perspective, and we can't sort of shape that for you. We're shaping it in the way we receive it, the way we perceive it, and the way we share it. So in order to get another side, there was somebody who was messaging WGN's Facebook page, and they did not like, I sent you copies of this. Someone was very upset that the other side was not being represented. So I asked which side, and they said the conservative side. And I said, well, actually, we do have conservatives on the show. Eric Elk that night was here. He you know, and they were like, and I said, so what other side would you want? And he goes, one that represents. And so we messaged him back and we were like, but he's a Republican. Dave Lundy is a Democrat. Ken kind of, you know, goes back and forth between his thoughts on things. So what that seems like a couple of sides. We need to know exactly what you're demanding from a guest. But you can also call us, and rather than get mad at us for what we're saying, share what you think. That's not the point of this. Isn't to tell you what to think. The point of this is to tell you what's on our minds. I'm not a news journalist. I'm a talk show host, and I'm sort of just guiding the conversation.
We talk facts.
Yeah.
Oh. And sometimes the facts are ugly for both sides. I mean, depending on the issue. Usually they've been ugly for President Trump, and that's unfortunate, but it's his own doing. It's not ours. We just report.
We didn't start the fire, man.
We didn't start the fire.
I didn't start the fire, Elliot. I didn't start the fire.
We didn't start it, but we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it.
Oh, that's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I will say, especially what's been going on in the common discourse, it seems to me that people aren't saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not saying, hey, you're not showing both sides of the issue. They're essentially saying, you're not showing my side of the issue and what I agree with.
Right.
Otherwise, I don't want to hear any other side, which to me isn't the best way to start a conversation.
Right. That's what I'm saying is that if there's something you want to say, the phone lines are open the entire time we're on the air. So the lines, a text screen telling us that we're jerks or we're assholes or idiots isn't a conversation. It's just your anger. Maybe you're angry because you got conned, because, you know, someone sold you a bill of goods and now you're mad about it and you don't want us to tell you what's actually happening. I don't know what to tell you. If that's what's making you mad, then you need to do some other searching as to why you made some decisions, why some people decided that democracy was worth sacrificing for, I guess, for a tax cut that now apparently it looks as though our gas prices are going up. So whatever you saved on that tax cut, poof. So we have some more suggestions coming in about movies for Memorial Day weekend. Two great war movies. This is Lisa from West Dundee, from very different perspectives. One is called Three Came Home and Since You Went Away. Both movies star Claudette Colbert, who is fantastic. And I believe she's also in a movie that I love called So Proudly They Hailed, which is about women who served as nurses during World War II and were in the Philippines during some really treacherous times and some scary events. So that's, and I believe it also stars a young actor who went on to play Superman. I want to say George Reeves was also in that movie.
George Reeves, ooh, yeah, I'll look that up.
I could be wrong. I remember a lot. Oh, The Best Year of Our Lives, a great movie. Have you seen this one, Ken?
No, that one, I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
Let me see. I'll try to find some of the synopsis of these. Elliot, can you look up The Best Years of Our Lives? I believe that one, Best Picture of the Year, that one came out. We were also talking about Saving Private Ryan. Oh, someone suggests Band of Brothers, which I've never had the chance to watch. That's a series from HBO by Spielberg. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes,
and Tom Hanks, I think.
I actually own the DVD or the Blu-ray, whatever it is, and I just haven't had a chance to see it yet. It's in a really cool, you know, little box, a metal box.
Oh, interesting.
But I thought we were talking off air about Saving Private Ryan. I think, to me, Saving Private Ryan epitomizes what this weekend and holiday is all about. To watch the landing on D-Day at Normandy and to the visualization of what that was all about, it's so incredibly powerful, and it makes you just, it's very emotional to watch that, what those guys went through and how they sacrificed for us. I mean,
right.
It's just so powerful, so incredibly powerful.
I think to the point, I think when Joe called earlier saying that we really should require like say high schoolers to see this sort of thing. And that's what Spielberg was intending. I mean, Saving Private Ryan was kind of like a thematic sequel to Schindler's List for him.
Yes.
Another World War II movie showing the war from the American side. And he brought out, he wanted people to see those visuals to feel how chaotic and what it was like. And I think with Schindler's List and with Lincoln, with that battle in the beginning where you see one of the Civil War battles, you see how brutal those are. It was him saying, look, this is what history was like, and using film to kind of like help us experience that. And so I agree. It really is something that everyone should see.
Yeah, I think it's important for us parents to make sure that our children really understand and appreciate this weekend. I mean, my daughter, who's 8 years old, asked me today, what's Memorial Day about? So we had a little conversation.
Right. Oh, that's
you can't a good question. You can't get too heavy with an 8-year old, but you know, so many people have absolutely no clue, except, well, we know there's no school and they play day baseball on a Monday. I mean, they really don't understand and appreciate what this is about.
Right.
Because we just haven't had, we're so far removed from the great wars, and most of the wars fought now seem so far away, they don't really touch us.
Right. And look, the wars have not been fought on our soil since Pearl Harbor, the attack on Pearl Harbor, and before that, really, the Civil War.
Well, Osama bin Laden would disagree.
Good point. Yes, that was an attack, and which launched us into many battles and many lives lost.
Yeah. I would also recommend the series that was out this year by Ken Burns on Vietnam. Absolutely extraordinary to watch the whole history, and just, we did those guys wrong. the guys who went over there to
fight. We absolutely did.
It was terrible.
And we continue to by letting down our veterans when it comes to services.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take Brad's call in a moment. Brad, you hang on. I'm going to take a quick break here and come right to your call because our conversation is about Memorial Day weekend, but also what is going on when you talk about how we did them wrong. That had to do with our government, and that had to do with our complicitness in that. So complicity?
Let's put it this way. The left... and I consider myself a proud member of the left, but that's a stain on the left.
That's a stain on Americans. But I mean, you know, the fact that we just kind of, as long as we were doing okay, as long as we were getting what we wanted, and okay, this is the price we have to pay for freedom, and there are communists out there, and they're, you know, this is what our government's telling us. You know, there are times when you stand up and you say, I need to know more. We need to know why, and we demand more.
But it wasn't the soldiers' fault.
No, I'm not saying that.
You know,
not at all.
And they came back. They went through hell over there. Then they came back, and it was even worse here for them. And it's just awful. Really, it's a bad, bad time in our country.
Brad, we're going to take your call as soon as we get back. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out. It is pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is our Chief Geek Officer, Elliot Serrano. And also joining us tonight is the President and CEO of Sirius Enterprises, Ken Jakubowski. We were talking about movies for Memorial Day weekend. And I do think that watching movies or series, documentaries about the men and women who have given their lives in service of our country is a great way to have a conversation with your family, to reflect. Maybe you want to read something, but it is definitely storytelling opens your world up to what maybe the point of view you haven't thought of before. And before we start talking about movies in this half hour, we were also talking about our conversations that we typically have on Friday nights. We talk about the news of the week, and I do my best to make sure that everything is balanced. And in that, I mean, the phone lines are always open. So if you don't agree with what we are saying or you don't like it, the phone line is open. Telling us that we're jerks or we're stupid isn't a conversation. It's your anger and your rage and your hostility. And there's a way to communicate. I want to hear what you're thinking. And there are people texting us right now. We were talking a little bit about the tax break and the fact that your gas prices are going up. So anything that you might have saved in any of those tax cuts is going to be wiped away by gas prices going up. From the 301, by the way, the tax cut means nothing to me since as a government employee, it looks like our pay is going to be frozen. From the 301, just my 2 cents, I think you are very fair in allowing all sides to be represented. We're going to talk about movies again in a moment from the 715, but Brad wanted to join the conversation and say something as well. Hey, Brad, how are you doing?
What to say?
I don't have any wine for you. I wish I could. I don't know what you what's your preference, but it sounds like
Can I say this? I almost choked on my mouth guard when you said that seven-letter A word.
That someone called
that
me that? Yeah.
Unexpected. That was. That's made my night.
That's the one I can say. The ones I can't say are the let's not even reflect on the other words that I get called. But go ahead.
I didn't realize you guys could even say that. It's a perfect word to describe. I don't want to get in on that. But I'd like to say something about your Memorial Day bit. My father literally had his first three letters of that seven-letter word blown off on a bridge just outside of Battle of the Bulge. He missed the Battle of the Bulge by about 3 weeks and spent the next year in the hospital. He weighed less than 100 pounds when he got out of the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he almost gave his life fighting what our country is fast becoming, I'm afraid, because I'm really worried that the cultists that call your show or text your show and think that you're not giving both sides need to take a look at what's going on, because this person, I don't even want to refer to him in any other way, the person that is dominating the news, he and his friends and his co-conspiracists in the Republican Party, they have no regard for anything even approaching the truth. They will say anything. And it's becoming more and more obvious because of what's happened recently with his rise in the polls. And they're realizing it's working, and it was evidenced this week when they said, "Hey, by the way, we're gonna come in and force you to give us the evidence against someone who's being under investigation." And it's stunning to me that people aren't up in arms about this. I just don't know what to say. I really fear for the future of our country and to our friends on the other side. If we get through this, I wonder if they'll finally realize what a monster they have created, what a con man is fooling so many people into just blindly following this, I don't know what you can call it, confirmation bias on steroids. It just, I mean, what does it take to realize that this guy is incapable of even, you know, the only time he tells the truth is when he has Giuliani tell it for him, kind of accidentally.
That has been fascinating to watch. You're right about, I mean, they're watching Giuliani go, yeah, he paid off Stormy Daniels. Yeah, it's surreal.
I think Giuliani's been telling the truth.
It's okay if a foreign country gives money to a political campaign in the United States. How could he say that? Is he trying to get back at Trump for not making him Secretary of State?
Well, I can tell by the tone in your voice, you know that that's illegal, and it's expressly spelled out in U.S. law is illegal. You know, to follow up on your point, so this week we have this conspiracy theory that's propounded by the president. To the point where they have that farce of a briefing at the White House, and then they did it on Capitol Hill. The president's lawyers attend. And the interesting thing about that is the press secretary, the assistant press secretary today, says, well, they were only there at the meeting for a few minutes, and it was just to open the meeting and convey the president's wishes that he would like it to be
transparent.
Balanced and transparent. Mm-hmm. Well, Rudy Giuliani went on Fox, and he said, nah, they were there to get information that the president can use to help his defense in the Mueller investigation. I mean, yep. Look, Giuliani, I think he's telling the truth. I mean,
too, they were busted because they told them to get out too.
Yeah, well,
they were behind the scenes people who said no, they wanted to stay. We made them leave. They weren't leaving of their own accord.
Well, what you should know is that the majority leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, was asked late this afternoon if he could comment on anything that happened at the briefing. And he said, I can't get specific because it's confidential. But nothing was surprising. There was nothing remarkable that I learned, which puts an end to the conspiracy.
Why isn't Nunes out there, you know, screeching to the heavens like he did as soon as they released their bogus report, you know?
Well, you know where Nunes is.
Where's Nunes?
Firmly attached to a part of Donald Trump's anatomy.
Wow. There's so many images running through my mind. Is it front or back? Is it front or back? I'm sorry.
Nunes' family gets all their money from?
No.
They have a winery and they sell almost exclusively to Russia. What a coincidence.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah. Look it up. I'm not making this up like the other side does.
Hold on, I'm looking it up. Elliot, will you help me look it up? Wine, Russia. Here's the thing people don't realize. It is so easy to just Google things, and that's what I never get. When people just like post something and they think it's for real or it's legit, and they don't just do a simple Google search.
Well, even then you have to be careful because a lot of times you can get some faulty information. So check those URLs.
Yes.
You know, when you're looking at it, you know. If you get more than one pop-up ad, then just go away. You know, just don't even bother with that particular site.
Adblock is your friend.
Adblock, yeah.
Former dairy farmer and current chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, must really love wine a lot. We aren't referencing to the $40,000 in PAC contributions from wine, beer, and liquor lobbyists. We're talking about the fact that the almost entirety of his undisclosed net worth is invested in an obscure Napa winery called Alpha Omega Winery. And if that's not strange enough, some now are claiming the investment is a tangible proof of Nunes' ties to the Russian government. So that's in Vice.com. But is it? So this goes on. So you can read the article and see what the conversation is about. Again, just Google stuff. And by the way, from the 224, Brad, listener agrees with you. So there you go.
Glad there's at least one out there. But really, why don't these people that bug you like that, don't they know there are like 8,000 other radio stations that exclusively run right-wing conspiracy mania all day long, all night long.
You know what I think about that? I think one, Howard's
trolls that are calling you. You know,
and that might be part of it. But there are people who are really passionate, and either the sound of my voice makes them very.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. I think that part of them just the sound of my voice saying something that is contrary to what they believe, just really pisses them off. I also think that people don't like to hear that they might be wrong.
I'd be happy to admit that I'm wrong,
right?
But how do you say you can believe somebody who's been proven to have told 3,000 lies that aren't just like matters of opinion, provable, demonstrable lies?
Oh, I know why.
How can you even?
That is fake news.
I know why. Because Mexicans. I got to run, Brad. We got to take a quick break here. Yep. I mean, as long as you can blame it on somebody, because that. All right. Have a great night, Brad.
You too.
We'll take a deep breath together. I'm so glad you got that off your chest. Me too. Bye. Have a great weekend. Serenity now. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Ken Jakubowski, who is the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises, and Elliot Serrano. He's our chief geek officer. I swear we're going to talk about some movies again, Elliot. It is.
We got pulled into the whole Trump talk. I'm all about talking about Memorial Day and remembering our vets. I'd rather not talk about a 5-time deferment, dude.
Well, Star Wars is a Memorial Day weekend movie series.
Well, I won't go that far.
Let's hold on, because I want to talk to Ken, who is a veteran. Hey, Ken, how are you doing tonight?
Good morning. Doing all right. Out doing DUI, seatbelt enforcement, and speeding traps.
Excellent. So, yeah. Thank you, sir.
Just remember, everyone, make sure you do wear your seatbelt tonight. Make sure that you are also not driving drunk. And make sure your registration, driver's license are on you.
Yeah, all of those seem like, you know, it's funny. I'll have a panic attack. I'm like, because I'll see my insurance card on my fridge because it's not, you know, not the time frame yet. And then I'm like, oh my God, do I have, Ken's in his wallet right now checking for his insurance card. I agree. And where's the best place for people to keep their registration? I always keep mine in my glove compartment, and that seems the most convenient, yes?
Well, several different insurance companies have the ability to print off one, and, you know, you keep one with your registration in your vehicle, preferably, you know, with your registration, wherever you do keep that, and not, you know, in the pile of trash in the back seat or the fast wrappers, blah, blah, blah. But also, I mean, I personally keep an extra one in my wallet with my driver's license.
Yeah, my insurance card is with my driver's. I'm like nervous just talking to you right now, sir. sir, what was I? Yes.
I'm nowhere close. I'm out on I-70 in eastern Kansas.
Oh, well, hello. I'm glad you're hearing us in Kansas. How are the roads tonight? Is it pretty quiet? Or are you busy?
Shh, don't say the Q word.
Oh, no. You know, here's the thing. I said it, not you.
That's true.
That's the key part.
I'm off duty in 2 hours, and I always usually get that DUI in the last 30 minutes. So I don't get home until about 0500.
Can I have yes, go ahead, officer. Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, I was talking about this the other night. There are times when I'll see someone driving erratically on the road. Should people call 911 if they see somebody who is clearly not able to stay in their lane, come close to hitting other cars, that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Description of vehicle, if you can see the driver, you know, of course you don't want to get close to them.
No.
But if they if you can, you know, a description of the driver, at best description of the vehicle, make, model, tag number.
Okay. I should have called last night. I should have called last night. I there was a car that was drifting into my lane, then was drifting to the other lane, and I waited I wanted to get in front of them so I wasn't behind them, but then I was like, I couldn't decide where it was better to be. And then they were driving like 20 miles an hour on the Kennedy, and they finally got off of the Kennedy.
Yeah, I've been to Chicago a few times, so I understand what you're talking about. So, anyway.
What do you want to tell us? Yes.
What I was calling about is I personally serve in the Kansas National Guard as a military historian.
Oh.
And I have done, I do unit archival information histories as well as personal histories of some veterans, or do investigation into, you know, claims of, you know, individuals or families looking for information about their loved ones. I personally, my family goes back to Spanish-American War, serving with the Rough Riders, and then World War One at Chateau Thierry, and as well as you know, a couple other battles there, Battle of the Marne with the Marine Corps, as well as World War II. My great uncle was in the 101st with the 506th, you know, hence the Band of Brothers period. That's a specific period I reenact personally. But we also have to remember the true inception of Memorial Day was not started by, what shall we say, us Yankees. It was started by the widows and families of the veterans of the Southern struggle. And that is an important part of it, because it was started off as Decoration Day, you know, actually about a week and a half before. So that's something to remember about this day specifically. Something else to remember is that even though we may all have personal differences, it's those of us who are the 3 to 5% of the population who put out the sacrifice, because I myself served in the Gulf, and again, two tours in 03 and 04. So you have to realize that, you know, there's those of us out here who, you know, we do this because we love our country. We love those who are here, and though we might have differing opinions, and sometimes, you know, I will totally tell you, the reason why I listen to you guys is because I want to hear what you have to say, but also your weekend shows at this time get me through my night.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I don't tick you off too much, do I, sir?
No, you don't. I just let you know that, you know, I do come from a very long line of Republic constitutionalists.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of conservative leaning there, but I do like hearing your a rational explanation because of the opposing opinion, because my great uncle, though he became a quote he was conservative, but he is what you call a Truman Blue Dog Democrat. We don't have those anymore. Haven't had those since 63, when one was shot down at the Daley Plaza. So what I'm saying you know, since President Kennedy, there's not been a whole lot of, true American Democrats. And the reason why I say that is because they love the country and they didn't put the social, and I'm going to maybe use a term, communist ideal forward first. So now that's, like I said, that's my opinion. And that's also a historical, you know, there's a lot of historical fact for that.
Are you familiar with Ronald Reagan's stance on immigrants and people who had set up roots here? There's a speech he gave that, you know, he felt that we should find ways to make sure that families weren't separated. And even though, you know, if maybe someone came here years ago illegally, if they've set up life here, there should be a way for them to be able to stay here with their families. I mean, I think that
That was a one-time thing done then, and it should have stopped then, and it was not kept enforced. So I understand what you're saying, though.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the problem was is there was not a continuing enforcement of that, and so we're back at the same issue. So
and because you gave your family history, I mean, I think maybe you've heard me talk about this before. My mother is a hardcore Democrat. My father was as hardcore Republican, and that's one of the reasons why I like having these conversations. Is I grew up in a household where two people lived with each other until my father passed away. Being able to have a conversation, talk about who they voted for and why, and that's why, and that's, you know, whether or not, I mean, I don't consider my mother to be a communist. I think that she would be very angry to be considered a communist. I think a lot of Democrats would disagree with that, but I think that's kind of the paint that they've been sort of, you know, sort of brushed over with in a large way. Ken, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I do agree. I do agree with the officers. It's an officer, correct?
Deputy Sheriff, yes.
Yep. Well, thanks for your service. Very much appreciated it. Nice to know that if ever I'm in Kansas, you're on the roads protecting us. But I do think I agree with him that one of the problems after the Reagan Reagan's decision regarding immigrants or folks that were here illegally. The enforcement, really, we dropped the ball on enforcement after that, and it just exacerbated, made the problem much, much worse. Although,
correct.
Over the last several years, it's kind of self-corrected. People aren't coming across the border right now. They haven't been.
Well, and I know some people have very specific views on on individuals that might be in the POTUS office right now. But I do have to say is that I have a cousin who serves with Texas DPS, specifically on what they call the gunboat squadron, which are like Zodiac fast boats that Special Forces use on Rio Grande. Ever since that there has been a, what shall I say, support for them and those in the Border Patrol, there's been a major cutback since last year.
Really?
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I was, when I began working in the Latino community back, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I thought everybody was in favor of some form of a path to citizenship for folks that were here. And I found out from the Latinos that I worked with who had done it the right way that that's not the case. It's pretty exactly. much split down the middle in that community. And well, there's folks that are Donald Trump will certainly gets a lot of support from Latinos who agree on his tough stance on keeping folks out. And I can understand it. They come here, they did it the right way, and those folks.
Right. And that's where, you know, especially like where I work, I'm working with Highway Patrol. We don't deal a lot with the major trafficking, but we do get it. You know, especially with, you know, the main highway through here, we get more drugs. But the thing is that you have to look at the fact that, you know, you do have mules even clear up through, you know, up towards Canada. And that's something that you have to be aware of. And, you know, it's in the community I live in is a small, like 5,000 people. But my parents live in the capital of Topeka, which is 250. Huge amount of traffic through there of individuals who, you know, are not documented, and yeah, you know, it's tough, and I don't think that, you know, I think individuals who want to be here. I mean, I have to agree. This may be where I diverge a little bit from my conservative opinion. You know, people who want to be here and work, pay taxes, and go through the proper procedures, no problem. I wouldn't mind having a problem with it doing that. Problem is a lot of them don't want to, and they want to have what they get, which is our greenbacks, send them back. You know, hey, if they want to do that, tax them.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people would agree with you on that. See, this is a conversation.
Yeah, and in fact, that was a key component of several pieces of legislation first propounded by John McCain and Ted Kennedy. A path to citizenship, which would have heavily taxed. They had to pay a big fine. There was a lot of steps people had to go through who were here, but here illegally, before they could become citizens. And it was killed by Republicans.
Hey, Ken, do me a favor. Can you tell listeners that you're a Republican that called on my show to have a conversation, and that's how you have a conversation?
Yes, I am a registered Republican, but like I said, a constitutional conservative. But I have called this show. I do, like I said, I do enjoy having the ability to speak with people who are able to get their point across without having to be derisive or divisive.
We're going to use that audio clip. Anytime someone says that I'm not giving people another side, it isn't that hard. And I'm so grateful that you called in tonight. By the way, one of our listeners says hello from Southeast Kansas. His name is Jerry, and he thanks you for your service.
Thank you, Jerry, and y'all have a wonderful evening. I just had someone pass me at a high rate of speed.
Oh, go get him! Get him! Get him!
Be safe, officer.
Thank you for joining our conversation tonight. I hate saying our conversation. This is your conversation, and that's one of the things I'm trying to make sure people understand when they get their panties in a bunch and start texting either on our live text screen or sending messages to the WGN Facebook page or messages directly to our boss about how perhaps their point of view is not being represented. The phone line is open. It's always open. And we loved hearing from Ken, as we love hearing from Myrna right now. Myrna, I know you were on hold a lot. You were on hold for like 40 minutes. So thank you for calling back. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I only hung up because I had to use the washroom really bad. So that's why I called back. Sorry about that.
I've done that too. I've done that. I've been like, you know what? I know when they come back. I've actually called in the like Steve Cochran show. I'm like, I'm on hold. I'm like, you know what? I know when they're coming back. I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. Yeah. I'm with you. Heck, I've done conference calls. Never mind. Anyway.
Yeah, I was calling about, well, the previous caller made the point. He was a perfect example of what I'm trying to tell other people that when you have people calling into your show that are Trump supporters, you could tell right away before they even make their point, because they tend to raise their voice, they start yelling, and then they make a point, and when you try to counterpoint, they start talking over you. They start yelling. Then they get to the point where they do the snowflake thing,
right,
name calling, and then they almost start swearing at you. And if they can't seem to understand that if you want to call a station and have a conversation like an adult, you have to speak like one. Stop with the raising your voice and talking over the host. Stop calling people names because they don't agree with you. Follow the rules like everyone else does.
No, but that's it. But yeah, go ahead. So you get your point across. Yes.
Yeah. That's how you get your point on the air for others to hear.
But Myrna, I think that there's a whole that's what we attempt to do on WGN. And by the way, that's something I still work on. I remember when I was working with producer Craig Collins. Remember when there was a team from Chicago that won the Little League World Series, and there were people calling up and saying, parents always know who's on their team and where they live. And I played Little League and I started raising my voice, and the guy wasn't yelling at me, but for some reason I found myself yelling at him. And Craig's like, he wasn't yelling at you, right? So look, I get it when you're passionate about your point of view. So it's something to keep in mind and to have a conversation and to hear each other. The other thing is, Myrna, I think that there are a lot of other shows, other stations, other news outlets talk shows and panels. And Ken, you said you watch other shows to see what the points of view are. That's what it's like, though. It's diminishing and demeaning. They yell at each other. I've listened to talk show host Levin. He yells all the time. And so I think that there's also sort of a territory where that becomes normal, or that's where people think that's how you have a conversation.
Well, for anybody who's of the left persuasion, there's two columns, two writers that I would urge them to read regularly, and that's George Will and David Brooks in the New York Times. They'll make you think. They'll challenge your views, and it will make your views stronger because you'll be smarter. It's always important to listen to those who think differently than you, because you will learn something. There's no question about it. You'll learn something, and it will make you a much better person.
There you go.
That is true. That is true. And the thing is, you, by listening to them, you are showing that you are trying to see their point, but they will not follow through and do the same to you. I've had a situation on Facebook where a person will make a comment, I will make a comment, counterpoint, and then their friends jump in with the snowflake. It's like,
jeez.
Really?
Yeah.
And the thing, I'm not even talking to them. I'm talking to the person that posted, yet everyone feels the need to do the name calling, and the person who posted isn't going anywhere near that. They're just being civil, pointing out what they feel, and that's it. And it's like, why do they all have to do that?
Well,
is that the only thing that they can use to defend themselves?
It happens on both sides. And you actually used the perfect word in their world, which is feel. Mm-hmm. It becomes a battleground of feelings, and it's very hard to have a conversation when we're all reacting on emotion. But that politics has become emotion.
Well,
which is why blaming somebody for your problems is so easy for political parties to sort of glom onto.
What people, in my opinion, what people need to do is to understand that you can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yes.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to switch this to liver sausage talk for a minute. because I couldn't get in the night that you guys were going on and on about it.
Can I wait before you do, Myrna? And this is going to be part of a story I tell in a few minutes after the break, after we talk to John. But I went to see my doctor after Esmeralda was talking about that liver sausage, and I ended up eating a lot of liver sausage. I went to the doctor. My cholesterol right now is through the roof, and I blame liver sausage. Just want
the smell of of liver sausage.
No, livers and liver sausage are two different things.
Are they? I just remember liver.
Yeah, no, they're two different things.
I mean, the smell is enough to just, I can't even think
different.
About it.
Myrna, tell me your liver sausage story.
you know, being Mexican, we had the tortillas at home, and my mom, when, you know, not having transportation back in the day, she would have to resort to whatever she could come up with until my dad got home with groceries, and she came up with the liver sausage taco.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that is the world. The liver sausage on a corn tortilla is just nothing on it, no lettuce or tomato, just the liver in the corn tortilla.
And it's fried liver sausage, right? So you?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, just out of the casing. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
But it has to be Oscar Mayer.
Yes.
That is the best. It's got to be. It's just, you got to try it. Whoever is listening and has never tried it, try it, please. You'll thank all of us for it. All of us Mexicans who do liver sausage tacos.
You know what's funny is it's kind of like, you know how like some people like their bagel with a schmear cream cheese. This is your tortilla with a schmear liver sausage.
It sounds to me like gefilte fish.
I understand. I understand. And here, Myrna, you'll appreciate this. So I'm with you. I love the Oscar Mayer liver sausage. As you heard that night, Steve came home with like the deli liver sausage, and it was massive. I mean, the girth of this thing, I was like, I don't know who's eating that, but I'm all out and mark it and give it to Nick D. I don't care. It's exactly what I thought when I saw it. Myrna, it's lovely to hear from you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to try that on a tortilla. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye, Myrna. True story. All true stories. Let me get to John. John, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I tell you what, dollface, y'all got me hungry for some brunch and wiener.
Yes, exactly. There it is.
Courtesy of Oscar Mayer, naturally. My mother being Polish. My father being German.
Uh-oh,
yeah,
look
they
out.
Met, oh, no, no. They met in the Windy City.
That's, well,
in the 1940s.
Well, both the Poles and the Germans love some sausage, so I'm guessing this was a good place for all that.
Ever.
Yep.
Yeah, by the way, don't forget to save me a seat at McCormick Place next year.
Well, there's going to be two big events, Elliot, right? Not just C2E2, but then...
Star Wars Celebration.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's coming to town.
Lucasfilm. I know. I'm not sure if they're close enough in the dates. Yes.
I'm your father.
There it is.
Well, I think Star Wars Celebration.
So anyway, I'm having my own domestic festival down here in Logansport, Indiana. I ran it out from the library, a special edition. It's got the entire trilogy in one package, Back to the Future.
Oh, you did?
You know they shot all three movies at one time, right?
I think they shot two and three. I didn't know that they shot the first one as well.
Well, you know, they said, hey, while we're on the lot, we might as well go for it, you know?
At that point, there you go.
You know what the best part about part three is, don't you?
What's the best part?
ZZ Top.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it. I had to go back and watch all three.
And they still spin their guitars in that movie.
Well, even though they're in the Old West, yes.
Well, that's it. So the whole thing, that's all the fun of it, right?
That was a joke.
Clint, and what's your name, Clint?
Anyway,
yes.
getting on the topic here. As far as I'm concerned, if you have to insult somebody or raise your voice or yell at somebody, that makes you an idiot.
And I've been idiot.
If you cannot keep it civil and calm and cool, that just takes it to an idiot level, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and as you mentioned, it lowers the level of the discussion, you know, the intellect of the conversation. Yeah, it diminishes everything. I think you're right
that. For instance, I'm a North Sider. I'll always be a North Sider.
Right.
But I was rooting my head off in the 06 series against the Astros for the Shy Sox.
Uh-huh.
Now, when it comes, of course, to classic, then I might use a few insults, for the pale holes.
Sure.
You know, the big hurt. I got your big hurt right here, Frank Thomas, you know, that kind of thing.
It gets a little different, doesn't it?
You know, but you know what? Chicago.
Exactly.
We're family. You know, we root for each other.
I agree. And I'm rooting for the Sox to, you know, go.
Just like we should root for America as a whole.
Right.
I don't care who's the president. Just show me the results. You know, the old Jerry Maguire movie. Show me the money. You know?
Yep.
I don't care who says what, who does what. What's the end result?
Well, and that's...
Are we better off or worse off? And you know what? That takes time to find out.
Yes.
You can't find out in 5 seconds after a decision's made.
I know.
So anyway, here in Indiana, we got this problem. We got a 14-foot-long python on the loose in Indianapolis.
What?
Nobody could find. Nobody knows a hashtag. You ready for this hashtag?
What's the hashtag?
B-B-C-H Grove, G-R-O-V-E, Python. It's actually a Twitter handle. Somebody has that handle. And we are having a hilarious time with Patty. Here's the joke for you. These two guys are gassing up on their lunch hour in the Indianapolis area. One guy says to the other, man, have you heard about this slimy snake that nobody can seem to stop? And the other guy whips around and says, oh, you mean Trump?
Oh, man.
Where's my rim shot? Where's my rim shot?
Hold on a second. What do we have?
Where's Nick DiDangelo when you need him?
I know. Hold on a second. We're looking for the, oh, there it is. Hold on. Nope. We need it. Wait, one more time. There it is.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all weekend. Make sure to tip your waitress, but not your neighbor's cow, because here in Indiana, they frown on that kind of thing.
Yeah, be nice to your cows. Thank you, John. Have a great weekend. Good to hear from you. Look forward to hearing your voice again. Before we go to the break, I want to make sure we get to the 715's text from a while ago. This is like almost an hour. So thank you. Thank you, Rod from Northern Wisconsin, who says, I thought Wind Talkers was very good. It was about the Native Americans as code talkers in World War II. Shows how even though their land was taken by the very country in which they sacrificed themselves. And Johnny Cash wrote that song about Ira Hayes and the Pima Indian, who was one of the six of the famous Iwo Jima flag raisers. So thank you so much from the 715. Another movie, two movies actually right there in that text. It would be Wind Talkers and The Sands of Iwo Jima, again starring John Wayne. More after this on 720 WGN. Before we continue our conversation, which is your conversation, I want to get to a text from the 301 who says, just in case I do nod off, I'd like to get my something good in. At the end of every show, we end with something good, something that makes you happy, something that makes you smile. And this something good makes me smile too. Thank you to the 301 who says this. I'm not going to use the word you use. This insomniac is truly grateful for your show, Patty. Thank you so much to the 301. It's been great reading your text because, as you know, sometimes yours will be chopped up with ones that aren't as pleasant and as pertinent to the conversation. The text screen isn't to be a jerk. The text screen is to join the conversation. It's not to jump in here. It would be like if you were sitting at work and someone was poking you in the shoulder and going, you suck at your job, you suck at your job. I'm trying to keep the screen open so that people who maybe don't want to call in, it's not easy to call into a talk show and join the conversation. And this is an opportunity for people who maybe just want to text. And when you jump in and you just want to be nasty and ugly, you're not helping. You're not being kind, and that's just unfortunate. And I've learned how to use... Michael, what would you say is the most useful thing I've found on these text screens? Is the what button?
The delete button.
Whoa, whoops! You never existed. Oh, your rage has just been flushed. Hold on, is there a good sound for that? I think we have that sound. It's not this one. No. I like this one.
Hey!
That's pretty good for when people nasty. I feel like we have a flush sound, don't we? So whenever... Oh, here it is. I got it. Oh, your text. Your nasty, needless text. It's just... Oh, there it goes with the White Castle that somebody had last week. Anyway, so...
That was a mental image I did not need. I did not need that.
That's what I think of nasty
right,
text.
Right up there with liver sausage and gefilte fish.
Yeah, really?
No, that is not true. Oh, liver sausage is in its own cat. You're going to watch Star Wars with liver sausage, and that's not really a kind thing to do. I can't do that because
it's better than eating fried ants like in Brazil.
Oh, have you had fried ants in Brazil?
No, I know people who have, and they told me that the secret to traveling to Brazil is ask when you're at the airport on the way home what it was you ate. Don't ask while you're there.
Oh, boy. So I was leaving Denmark, and someone gave me a jar of fish. I don't know if it was gefilte. It was some sort of fish. And I thought it was charming that they thought I was going to travel from Denmark back to Chicago with a jar of fish in my carry-on.
Holding on your lap during the flight on the way back?
It was very sweet, and I was opening a comedy club for them there, and we were like, oh, thank you.
So this was from Denmark?
We were in Copenhagen.
Wait, it must have been A delicacy?
I'm sure it was.
The fish didn't have the eyes, so did it?
They were like, I don't know, they were in a jar and they were fish. And I
were
thought,
they sardines?
I can't, no, I don't know, but I wasn't traveling with them. That's like a 10-hour trip.
It's like the Jerry Seinfeld episode when he wanted that the taco sauce, the hot sauce.
Yes, he
brought
carried
back
it
from like Memphis or Nashville or something.
Imagine if that thing breaks in the overhead, how many people are going to hate me?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I remember my dad bringing coffee back from Mexico, although it turns out when you bring coffee back from Mexico, they think that you're trying to hide drugs.
They
think you're hiding drugs. That was a fun 3 hours of our lives when I was 19.
Can we talk about some notable deaths that happened this week?
I thought we were going to talk about the movie Solo.
Before we talk about Solo?
Okay, yes. Notable deaths.
Clint Walker died. I totally missed this.
Who's Clint Walker?
Clint Walker was the towering actor who handed down Justice as the title character in the early TV Western Cheyenne.
Oh.
If you look at his picture, you'll recognize him. Here's his photo, Patty.
Oh,
Clint
hello,
Walker.
Sir.
Do you remember Clint Walker?
He looks very familiar.
He was always playing one of these sheriff type guys. And of course, Robert Indiana, the great artist, died Saturday. And Richard Goodwin, an absolute genius. The movie Quiz Show is based on a part of Richard Goodwin's life. And it's, by the way, the movie Quiz Show, highly recommended to anybody out there
that's
who's
great,
not seen it.
It's a great movie.
Robert Redford produced and, I believe, directed the movie.
With Ralph Fiennes and Rob Morrow.
Yes.
In the movie, yes.
Rob Morrow was just, they were great in that movie.
Such a quirky little, the quirky guy. Don't ever let that clip get out, Michael, that I said little man. I was going to say little guy.
Yeah, but Richard
Goodwin, know that because
Richard Goodwin, a brilliant, brilliant guy.
Billy By the way, Cannon, the going back to Clint Walker, there's a good. That's a good Memorial Day weekend movie to watch is Dirty Dozen. He's in Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was a pretty pretty consequential few days with a lot of folks that made great contributions to our society, not the least of which is Thomas Wolfe, the great writer.
Yes. Although, was that Bonfire of the Vanities?
And The Right Stuff, one of the greatest books ever written.
Wait, the same guy who wrote The Right Stuff wrote Bonfire of the Vanities?
Yes.
I'm going to check the records on this.
Yes.
I don't believe that at
Thomas
all.
Thomas Wolfe.
Okay, then. The book about a rich guy who hits a homeless man also wrote The Right Stuff?
Yeah.
I don't understand life
and
anymore.
And Margot Kidder.
Oh, Margot Kidder also passed away.
She passed away, Lois Lane. Yeah.
So it's been the last week and a half or so has been fairly consequential in terms of folks that that really did some stuff.
But did you ever, I mean, have you ever looked into why Margot Kidder and Karen Allen, two great actresses from the 70s and 80s, who played these pivotal roles as the love interest to, of course, our iconic heroes, their careers never really took off. And I thought they were both great. They both had that kind of Deborah Winger sort of style to them.
Well, Karen Allen went on to do a lot of, like, she opened her own business. She did some home goods deals. That's what
really?
She does. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Whereas I know with Margot Kidder, she was doing a lot of theater, but she also had health problems,
she had mental illness,
mental health issues, which kind of kept her from continuing on that road. So, but I know with Karen Allen though, she's still doing stuff.
She's great.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, that's who I wanted to be too. I wanted to be Wonder Woman. I wanted to be the Bionic Woman, and I wanted to be Karen Allen and Indiana Jones, mostly because I wanted to kiss Indy.
Or punch him.
With both. Yeah, he's very, he can
first.
Be very annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have no time to talk about Solo. Hold on, before we go to the news, we'll talk about Solo in a moment. But I want to talk about one more thing before we go to the news. This is for you, Ken, from our friend Dan, who's gone to Springfield with us to the hearings, and his son testified when the programs for social services were cut, because, you know, I'm a communist. I think the most vulnerable should be, you know, taken care of.
But if you don't, well,
okay.
All right, never mind.
So Dan says liver sausage and chive cream cheese is a cracker's best friend.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
so make a recommendation. What's the best liver sausage to buy? Is it Oscar Mayer?
I like Oscar Mayer. My husband bought really good one. The only thing, I didn't tell him this, is that when you cut it, like, there was a little bit of pink that would come out. Like, it looked like blood. And I'm like, I don't think that's supposed to happen.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
That's right. It is time for What's That From? We take a classic movie scene, destroy it so you can never see one of of your favorite movies the same way again. Joining me in studio is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Follow him on Twitter at Elliot Serrano. Find him on Facebook under the same name, two T's, two R's. You can figure the rest out. And you can also join follow Ken Jakubowski home tonight. I'm not sure. Ken Jakubowski is the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. He's also a crisis communications expert, and someday I'm sure I'll need to hire him. Okay, we are going to read a scene for you. When you know what movie it is from, we have a gift card for you. Now, if you call and you hear that somebody else has won something, do not hang up, because I have a very full prize closet. I have not been giving out prizes, so you might get lucky with one of our other prizes. Yes.
I actually have a little quiz question.
There we go. We have a follow-up quiz question. So if you call in trying to win a gift card from After Electronics, hold on the line, because I do have a Lou Malnati's pizza for our other listeners who want to win something, maybe two pizzas. 312-981-7200. You do have to call in to win. We cannot take any text guesses. All right, take it away, Roger.
I have a caveat, though. Some of us are doing several roles.
Yes.
Bear with us. Interior corridors, boys pass through on way to dressing room. Jerry is behind them. Jerry, the boys, and Millie are walking towards each other.
Hello.
Jerry stopping, the boys carry on past, not noticing her.
Hello.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't tell me you're...
No, not me.
Oh, you are. I know you are.
No, I'm not.
You are?
No, I'm not. No.
Well, you look like him.
Oh, do I? You're the first one who ever said that.
Oh, you do. Look.
Jerry looks at himself in the mirror carefully. Jerry.
Jerry examines himself in the mirror carefully.
Well, it's a repetition test. Come on.
Carefully.
My eyes are lighter.
Oh, yes.
And my nose.
Well, yes, your nose is very.
Is it?
I would have to say so.
Aye, but you know him well.
No, I don't. He's only a casual acquaintance.
That's what you tell me.
What have you heard?
It's all over the place. Everyone knows.
Is it? Is it really?
Mind you, I stood up for you. I mean, I wouldn't have it.
I knew I could rely on you.
Thanks.
Millie touches his arm, then walks away. After a moment, she turns.
You don't look like him at all.
Jerry winks at her and she winks back. Interior dressing room. Norm and Shake enter the room. The boys, Taylor, is there waiting for the boys.
Oh, they've probably gone to the canteen. Cup of tea, like.
That's too easy for Jerry. He crosses to the door leading to the fire escape.
He's out there somewhere, causing trouble just to upset me. You're imagining it. You're letting things prey on your mind.
No, no. This is a battle of nerves between Jerry and me.
But Jerry hasn't got any.
What?
Nerves.
I know. That's the trouble.
He puffs nervously at a cigarette.
Oh, I've toyed with the idea of a ball and chain, but it only rattled them at me. And in public and all. Sometimes I think he enjoys seeing me suffer.
He hears something.
Oh, boy.
Get behind that door. They're coming. Someone's coming. Quick, hide.
The two men hide behind the door. The boys enter the room as Jerry is last. He shuts the door and faces Shake and Norm.
What are you doing here?
Hiding?
I think you're soft or something.
We weren't hiding.
Now?
Now we were trying to catch you red-handed. I thought I told you a lot to stay here.
Well?
Oh, shut up. And come on, Jerry. They're waiting for you in the studio.
Oh, dear. Feels like I'm going to be doing a bit of work.
Good lad, Bingo.
Oh, listen to teacher's pet.
You crawler.
He's betrayed the class.
Bingo. Where's Bingo?
Leave off.
Temper, temper.
Well?
Close up on Norm's long-suffering face.
Will you all get a move on? They're waiting for you.
By this time, the tailor has his tape stretched between his hands to measure Gene's shoulders. But since Gene has moved away, he is measuring space. Jerry takes up his scissors and cuts the tape.
I now declare this bridge open.
The boys run out the door.
I can honestly say I have no idea what I just read.
I have no clue what that was.
I think were we British?
I guess we were British.
It could have been Death of a Salesman. My guess is since
always
he,
be cutting.
Since he puffed on a cigarette, that it's an older film is my guess.
It's an older film.
Okay, so I got that from the puff of the cigarette.
Beyond that,
I have no freaking clue.
You're kidding?
No.
Oh my gosh!
Bridge over the River Kwai.
Hold on a second. I was trying to find a tape measure sound effect, but I couldn't find it in time.
Was that you doing the sound effect?
I was trying to.
Slurping.
No, Michael and I were doing double duty on that.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Let me try to find tape measure. Here we go. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it.
That's a tape.
Well, that's when you close the tape measure, like when you.
Oh. Yeah.
Hold on,
okay.
Let me see. This is a longer. This is like an industrial tape measure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, of all things, I'd be like, that is a tape measure.
Did you like the scissors, though?
I like the scissors.
The scissors were particularly, I thought, necessary. All right, let's see if John knows the answer to, hey, John, what's that from?
Well, first I got to get my quote in. You ready?
Okay.
If she was the president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Roger, is that a quote from that movie?
Wayne's World, party on.
Actually, it's not.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Good quote, though.
Our phone lines are not lighting up, Roger.
All right, let me give a hint.
All right,
first of all, we already gave a hint that it's British, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And The Boys.
Did we just do a Beatles movie?
Yes, you did.
A Hard Day's Night?
Yes, you did.
You don't win anything. What are you doing?
Sorry.
312-981-7200.
Spoiler.
The next caller who calls in. Sorry, John. Hold on.
Sorry.
I don't think you know how this game works. Neither does Roger.
He's been gone a while.
312-981-7200 if you would like to win Elliot's prize. If you would like Elliot's apt card.
I swear, I had no idea that was it.
I was like...
I thought that's there's no I haven't even seen it.
I've seen A Hard Day's Night and I still have absolutely no clue.
I've never seen A Hard Day's Night.
This is where they're in the TV studio and they're up in the dressing room.
Hey, look, it's really lighting up now.
Absolutely no clue. Honest to God.
How long has it been since you've seen it?
I was probably 10 or 12 when
I
saw it.
Watch it again.
Hold on. Okay, calm down, everybody. Take it down a notch.
I'm sorry.
As my dad would say, take it down a notch, Dara. Okay. Not you, Roger. You're fine. You're in another room. I can turn you down any one time I want.
That's true.
I need these boys to be quiet for a second because I got to talk to Ellen. Hey, Ellen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Patty?
Is this my friend Ellen who plays the harmonica?
Maybe.
Not my friend. I mean, I've seen your posts on Facebook. Are you calling in to claim Elliot's prize for Apt Electronics?
Yes, I am, because for a moment I thought that was a really bad Beatles impression. I thought there's no way that it could be that bad. And then, yes, it was.
Okay, there was only one person, I think, that was doing
was
a Beatles
me.
Impression, which was Roger.
It was very
because he's the only one who knew what movie we were reading from.
So, yeah, and I could tell someone was trying to get that across, and I thought, no, there's no way.
I was trying to do one, too.
Michael?
I love you guys.
Poor Michael.
Patty, I love you.
I love you, Ellen. Ellen.
You were out there fighting the good fight all the time.
So are you.
I love it.
By the way, you can listen to Ellen on Sundays on another station on WCPT. I have no problem saying that.
Thank you.
Of course.
11 to 1.
There you go. You're right around the corner. We've got to do breakfast sometime. And now I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want an apt card or do you want a Lou Malnati's pizza?
She never gave the answer.
She doesn't have to. She's taking Elliot's prize.
I'm taking Elliot's prize. Okay.
Yes.
I think I would do a Lou Malnati's pizza.
All right. You got a Lou Malnati's.
I love Lou Malnati's. Lou Malnati's is my favorite pizza.
Such good pizza. Excellent.
Yes,
Ellen, you have a great weekend. I might see you in the neighborhood.
You too, my friend. I'd love to do that after the show one of these days.
That'd be great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Hold on for Michael so he can get your information right there. And we're going to give away. So she's got the Lou Malnati's pizza. And we're going to give Sean. Hey, Sean, you got the. Did you know what movie we were reading from?
I had no clue at all.
All right, so Ellen got the prize that Elliot gave away. by guessing the movie.
Thank you, Elliot.
Ken Jacobowski has a quiz for you.
Very simple.
All right.
Very, very simple.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to make a statement, and you simply tell me whether it's true or false. Didn't they used to have a television show like that?
True or false? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
To tell all the truth.
So here's the statement. Since 1990 in the United States, 38 children have been named A, B, C, D, E.
True. What was it?
True or false?
True.
You are correct.
Hey, you've got a gift card from Apple Electronics, Sean.
38 people have burned their
Thank
kids
you.
With the name of A, B, C, D, and E. And then you wonder how Donald Trump got elected. That's all I have to say.
There you go.
Well, it's easy when you have to have your security code.
That's my password. Exactly. Sean, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for calling. Hold on the line, and Michael will get your information to send out that gift card from Apple Electronics. Keeping people happy since 1936. You can go to abt.com or visit their store out in Glenview. And please say hi to Steve Shapiro when you're there. It'll be weird if you just hug him. Build up to the hug. I mean, he might hug you. I don't know. But if you're not a hugger, don't feel like there's a lot of pressure to. Also, Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com. Over 40 Chicagoland locations. And you can also have it sent anywhere in the continental U.S., as a matter of fact.
I have another quiz we can do.
Oh, I can do. All right. Hold on a second. Diane, are you ready for a quiz from Ken Jacobowski?
What?
Ken is giving you a chance to win a gift card from Apple Electronics. Would you like a chance to win a card?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, think back to our earlier discussion earlier tonight, to movies. True or false, there is one American buried in the Kremlin.
True.
Correct.
Hey!
Now, for bonus points, you know who that is?
Oh. You still win. No pressure.
No.
Okay.
John Reed, the great activist, writer. If you see the movie Reds, you'll see how that came about.
Congratulations, Diane. You've won a gift card from Apt Electronics. Hold on the line. And Michael's busier tonight than he's been in a while. I apologize because I've given no prizes away. You know what else I have, Michael?
Give any more prizes.
No? Okay.
Michael's going crazy writing all this down.
All right, I have a question. So I'm sorry, Valerie and Joanne, we've given away all of our prizes, but we will have more. We have tons of things to give away next week.
But we have a vat of liver sausage that we can give away.
No, we do not. And speaking of liver sausage, let me check right now. Michael, do you know if Mapubala is in tonight after we're done?
The one and only Mapubala is in tonight, yes.
So to our friend John, who is listening and we are replying to you, yes, Mapubala will be up next. I can't guarantee that we'll be on time for his show because he starts talking and I don't know what happens next. For our listener who says, I've had liver sausage all my life, Fricks, am I saying a dirty word, Elliot? Fricks?
That's a freaking shame.
Braunschweiger is the best I've ever had. You can buy it at Sullivan's Foods in Marengo as well as other locations.
So is this German or a Mexican food or both?
It's German. Mexicans love the German food, believe me. Michelle says, I just want to say, oh, thank you, Michelle. Says that we were great at Nerdfest, and I love that we were funny and not too PC.
I'm so sorry to the 6-3-0 that we ruined the Beatles movie for you. Sorry.
Yeah, that was going to go without saying. Try liver sausage on a wasa cracker with thin sliced red onions, avocado, and hot sauce.
Oh, boy.
That sounds really good from the 217.
Didn't it come with a warning that we might ruin
yes,
a movie?
I was very clear about
Thank
that. 630 shared some thoughts on Karen Allen, who said she fell in love with a Frenchman when she made the movie Until September, but he wouldn't divorce his wife. I did not know about that.
Never fall in love with a Frenchman.
Oh, no. Okay, one more. Let me just see what else we have. Let's see. Look up Steve Martin's bit about his real name. Oh, why? I don't know if I want to know. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Tell me what makes you happy. What's making you smile? Is it the fact that we didn't even read President Trump's entire letter to North Korea? I don't know. Could be that. More after this on 720 WGN.